I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're on Team Human. This is a special sneak preview of a bonus premium episode that's only available to our Team Human supporters. But hopefully this will give you a taste of this new episode that we've just dropped that we found in the Rushkoff archives, and we're adding to our stream. If you want to hear the whole 2-hour conversation, you can subscribe to Team Human at any level at teamhuman.fm. Just click on support or go to patreon.com/teamhuman and become a regular subscribing member of Team Human. But for now, this is a conversation between me and Terrence McKenna that took place in around April of 1993, where we're talking about memes and this new book that I want to work on called Media Virus.
See, I see biology as a kind of a strategy for the conquest of dimensionality. I mean, it has always been that. The very earliest living systems were apparently semi-polymerized slimes that were on certain clays. So it was a point consciousness. There was no notion of linear motion, of past, of future. There was just being. Well, then these things become autonomous. They still only have a tactile sensorium. They feel their way from point to point, and their life to them appears to be a series of successive linear moments as they explore a changing environment. Well, then, through evolution, you get then the sequestering of light-sensitive chemistry on the surface of organisms, and this creates the notion of a gradient, of a here, there, of a light, dark kind of thing. And then this gives vectors, dimensional vectors. We can go toward the light or toward the heat source or toward the food source. And then, of course, the whole history of evolution is the history of the evolution of a more and more complex sensorium and the musculature and neurophysiological machinery to be able to make use of that, until finally, with something, I suppose, like the jungle-hunting cat or something like that, you see a kind of complete completion of that. You know, you can move swiftly through space, you can strike from above or below, you can coordinate an attack. And then at that point, higher animals, you only get that kind of thing in mammals, symbolic communication comes in. And in many animals, like monkeys and cattle or, you know, antelope, this sort of thing, it just is a fight or flight response to the environment. You can warn of danger You can move you can have a signal which means leave the canopy, meaning you're exposed to predator birds or something. Or it can mean leave the ground, go to the canopy. There's a ground-based predator. At some point, that bubbles over into explicit language. And then that makes possible the tremendous compression where we see, you know, that by downloading change into culture, we've undergone more change in the last 500,000 years than in the previous 50,000,000 years.
Right. And that basically, that's by creating feedback loops and possibilities of greater iteration.
But symbolism. Symbolism is unknown outside in nature, except at the molecular level, where it actually is necessary. I mean, a codon, like, you know, guanine, adenine, symbolizes something. It doesn't, it isn't,
right.
Do you understand the distinction between symbolizing and signifying?
It has no relationship to any mechanical process.
Right, right. It's simply an arbitrary assignment of relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the development of the media space then as a whole is another evolutionary step in some ways.
Well, it's an intensifying of this language behavior. See, that's the other thing to notice about language, that it's a behavior. If you meet someone who is unable to speak, at first, this may escape you. I mean, they look like an ordinary human being, two arms, two legs, eyes, so forth. But what they lack is a behavior. And it's the most complex behavior that we have, which is interesting then that we acquire it so early in life. I mean, nothing else you do will ever, in complexity, exceed the acquisition of your local language. And the question, genetic, epigenetic, is complicated. I mean, I don't know if you've read Chomsky, but he's trying to argue there that there are what are called deep structural rules that are somehow genetic, that allow us to, because it's a great mystery for linguists to understand, how is it that a person can correctly identify as a sentence thousands of utterances that they have never heard before, you know, that are entirely unfamiliar to them, and yet they can say, this makes sense, this doesn't make sense, this makes sense, this mm-hmm. doesn't make sense, and can parse this very easily, with no internally articulatable sense of grammar at all. This is something almost like a magical ability we have to tell sense from nonsense. Chomsky wanted to argue that there were, in the organism, genetic scripts for this, which leads to the concept that these so-called rules of deep structure not only tell you what makes sense in English, they tell you what makes sense in any possible language. And that's actually the claim of the Chomskyan school, that all languages will be found to have these deep structural rules, that in fact having these deep structures is what being a language means.
And do you think in an epigenetic network, which is, I guess, what we are. Do you think that new ideas travel like viruses? Do you think that they have some sort of something that protects them in one way that makes them attractive and gets them spreading around? And once they have that, they release memes in the way of a virus would.
Yeah, I mean, if you study the life cycle of a virus and can sort of squint to exclude the biological minutiae, it's simply a piece of information is what's being described, a piece of information which replicates itself, which what's the word I want, advances itself over other pieces of information. I mean, one could imagine a kind of medical theory of the future that where everything is seen as information, mm-hmm. because that's the only part of the virus that matters to us. The nature of the protein coat or something like that is completely not part of the picture for most people's experience of
the
virus.
From their experience in a way, but I mean, I guess part of what I'm saying is with this book is it melts in your mouth and not in your hands. You know, that the protein shell of a virus is the media shells, the media coating that actually gets that attention. Something like smart drugs, I would say, is a media virus. It's not really a meme, but smart drugs, that even just that verbal construction gets it all this attention on the news, gets it spread out, and allows it to latch on to various host cells in the organism. And once it's there, it releases the mimetic material, which is, well, you can take a drug that actually makes you better. Oh, being smart might be a cool thing. And all of the subgenes, or that the pharmaceutical industry is keeping us from getting substances which we deserve.
Well, the genes, the memes compete in an environment very much like a rainforest or a coral reef. Basically, it's a lock and key system. An idea which fills a cultural receptor site will perhaps displace the previous idea which was filling that receptor site. In other words, this is the better mousetrap idea. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have the better mousetrap, the previous inferior mousetrap will go extinct. I mean, this is why we don't have button hooks and things like that around, because they have actually been losers in ideological competitions that went on between objects in an environment. And the evolution of tools is like this. I mean, now, what's a little different is that in nature, the process is one of supposed random mutation and then natural selection for appropriateness. What you get in the epigenetic domain is purposeful mutation, where called the design process. Mm-hmm. We say, look, I have made a better screwdriver. Now watch me get rich and watch ordinary screwdrivers disappear. And then if I'm right, this will actually happen. So it's a more driven, a more compressed process than you get in the genetic situation. In the genetic situation, there's the luxury of millions of years, and the whole thing goes on in a kind of unminded domain, where in the epigenetic situation, design goals are trying to be maximized, and it almost always happens in an environment of mind, although not always. This curious case of the DNA, you know, which is a debatable domain. I mean, who assigned those codons to those amino acids? Because once assigned, apparently they've been stable assignments for over a billion years, you know. And is it different somewhere else in space, you know? Is adenine, guanine, cytosine, does that always read as the same thing? Or are these local planetary dictionaries of molecular association? Well, these are questions we don't know yet.
I mean, in a way, you bring in the idea of intentionality. And I mean, I'm looking at some viruses that I see as intentional, say like smart drugs that had an agenda to it, or some that are unintentional. Even the Rodney King tape was a media virus that then released memes of its own, you know, questions about police brutality or such. Memes? Do you have a personal cachet of memes that you're spreading?
Well, I suppose so, in the sense that I'm the source of certain ideas which I would like to see debated with the confidence that they would do well in fair debate.
Mm-hmm.
Most people aren't meme generators. Most people are meme modifiers and spreaders, because truly original ideas are fairly rare.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.